Hi, this is Lucy Scott,
Alex Hightower,
and Lainey Mays.
This is Do You Even Podcast, a podcast about everything you didn't know you wanted to know about podcasts.
That's our music, but not to that.
I think
beat.
We should replace our music just with that, Lainey.
New song. New
beat
song.
That was not just, our music.
Just Lainey beatboxing.
Oh my God. In. We can thank you at the end, and thanks to Lainey Mays for our crowded music.
I try.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah.
And we're coming back to BYOP. We haven't done it in a while.
It's been a second, so I'm very excited to share my BYOP. Actually, I've been very excited to share this one. I was struggling to find something, and I really wanted something that I had listened to, like, at least a few episodes that I had a good grip on. And I was looking, and I was just listening and binge listening, and nothing was sticking. And then I found this one, and I thought it was so cool. So this one is called Ear Hustle. Have you listened to it?
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. A friend of mine loves this.
It's so good.
He has told me for months now that I need to listen to it. So we were literally talking about this yesterday.
Oh, this makes me so happy.
And like personal side note, recently I've gotten more like interested in the Close Rikers movement. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he was telling me you have to listen to Ear Hustle.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, I'm so excited. Yay! Wait, I can't wait to tell my friend.
So Ear Hustle is awesome, as Lucy already knows and everyone else will know soon. So it's a podcast about life in San Quentin State Prison. Mm-hmm. So that's out in California. And it's, I'll give you some background, but it's from Radiotopia. They do a few different other ones. They do Criminal, 99% Invisible, Song
really?
Exploder. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's interesting, I guess, the range.
Yeah.
I think they really helped back this program because it's something that comes from, they have two co-hosts. So one is a visual artist. Her name's Nigel Poor. And the other one is one of the inmates who's incarcerated. So they hosted together.
What?
So I think it was really great for
it's
them
incredible.
To get this backing from like a major publisher. It's awesome. Like, it's so good. Ear hustling is slang for being nosy or eavesdropping in prison. So it's really giving you an inside look at prison life there. It's awesome. I was really excited. I don't even know where to start. I guess one thing I do want to say, the language is explicit. I know we talked about letting people know that.
Yeah.
So there's some rough language in it. So for anyone who wants to listen, it is about what prison life is for these people. So they're not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
So it has two co-hosts. As I said, there's a third inmate who's the co-creator and producer. So it's great because everyone's really involved in it. People who are living there and experiencing it. And then Lieutenant Sam Robinson approves every single episode at the end. So it's really cute. He's like, and I approve this one. I'll get into the episodes, but there's one episode, I think it was about pets and how you're really not supposed to have pets. So at the end, he was like, I didn't love all the content in this one, but I approve this episode. So it's very cute. Everyone's like enjoying
hilarious.
It and being a part of it.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a little... There's like a little description, I guess. Ear Hustle. Hold on. Read my notes. Ear Hustle brings you stories of life inside prison, shared and produced by those living it. The team works in San Quentin's media lab to produce stories that are sometimes difficult, often funny, and always honest, offering a nuanced view of people living within the American prison system. So in one PodQuest in 2016, which was a Radiotopia contest, and that kind of helped fund it so that they could have the money to do it. Okay. Where to start? So I told you there are two hosts. Nigel Poor is a visual artist. She started working with San Quentin to have this project and really give a voice to the people there in 2011. She also worked on some other radio projects they've had there. So it's really interesting how they have these almost like extracurriculars that people can participate in and feel like they're giving their lives value and they're working towards something while they're in prison, living out their sentences. She seems really awesome. And also some of the programs they have there are really interesting at San Quentin that I think she talked about on the internet. So they have a liberal arts education program through the prison. So you can take like 20 courses. They have books and supplies that are like given through publishers. I don't know. It was just really nice to know these things are there. Obviously, I don't want to make it seem like prison is some sort of fairy tale because it is still prison and bad things do happen.
But it's great to have an outlet for them. So if they do reemerge into the world, they have a place to put this, like an output for their anger or whatever, like a creative outlet.
A creative space for them.
So that's good.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I feel like everywhere doesn't have that. So it's great to see these programs. The other host is Erlon Woods. And so he's an inmate who's serving 31 to life for attempted second degree robbery. He has a GED since being in prison, which is really cool. Wow. He's active in vocational trades and self-help. And I just kind of love him.
Wow. Like, that's amazing.
That's one of the hosts.
He's the other co-host. Yeah. So he talks with Nigel and he's great because obviously he knows these people who he's talking about, the other inmates. So he can pull in people depending on the episodes that they're discussing. Exactly. Yeah. The trust is there. You know, you're getting someone who actually understands what's happening. So it's not just this like outside view. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's authentic. Really interesting. I like listened to a few episodes so I can share about those. There's just like so much stuff to talk about. Oh, and Antoine Williams is the other inmate who's working on it. So he's the other co-creator producer. He's been an inmate since he was 18 years old. So 15-year sentence right now for armed robbery with a gun. But he's very involved. He loves music, poetry, dance, and art. Mm. Yeah. It's really great, guys. Oh, Lieutenant Sam Robinson. So he's the guy who approves every episode. So it's just interesting to have him
who
like jump in.
Who is he?
So he's the public information officer.
Okay.
So, at the prison. So he works at the prison.
Okay.
And so he, I guess, kind of oversees like the different programs and just a lot of different pieces of like the prisoners' lives. So sometimes he'll talk about like things he's seen, like when they're like bringing new prisoners in, anything like that.
So they really have all aspects covered.
Yeah. Which is really cool. The format, they're really short episodes, which was nice. So it was perfect because I could just binge it really fast. They're 30 minutes or less. So yeah, it's little snapshots of their lives. And then Erlon and Nigel, the two co-hosts, introduce each other. They tell the focus of each episode when it starts out. So some are about like cellmates, some are about the SHU, what's it called? Basically the isolation, what's it called? It stands for...
Like a room
that's
solitary
confinement. Yeah, but it like stands for something.
Like solitary housing unit or something?
Unit. I think that's it. Oh. I think that's it. Yeah.
Up on the lingo.
So they like talk about what each episode is going to be about. And they crack jokes with each other. Like very friendly, very personable. There was like a part when Erlon introduced it and he's like, yeah, like if people like Orange is the New Black, I think this is better. Like it was great. And I mean, he's got it right. Like this is honest and this is real, you know?
Yeah,
it's not all just about the drama, but it's their actual experiences. So I can talk about some of the episodes if you guys are curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the first one I listened to was called Sellies, and I thought it was a really good opening to the podcast. It's about cellmates and compatibility and the things that you probably would expect if you're being roomed with someone you don't even know who's gone to prison as well, and then some of the things you want to expect. They interviewed different people. So they interviewed two brothers, which was really interesting because which is sad in a way because the older one like got there first and the younger one came along a few years later. And it's like you don't want to see your little brother in this situation. But initially they thought, oh, it'd be good if we room together because we know each other, like to an extent versus like a complete stranger. Yeah. You know what I mean? Who like they're here for.
You don't know what you're going to get
exactly.
In that situation.
But it did not work out.
Oh.
It was actually one of like the biggest mistakes. I think their names were Eddie and Emil.
Sometimes it's worse when you know what you're going to get.
Exactly. I think the older one, I keep confusing which one is which, but the older one, I think he was more introverted and quiet. And then the younger one liked to crack jokes. He like loved to, was it like listen to the radio or something? He loved to sing, make a lot of noise. And so they were just like at odds.
That is a book right there about two brothers
and
brothers.
It was so interesting.
And it should be called Sellies.
It should be called Sellies. I like that. That apparently is what people say.
Not
they don't
to,
say cellmates. They
take
Sellies.
Their story. But I'm just saying someone like that would make a really good story.
It really would. And it's something people would be interested in. He talked about the living quarters, how small it is. Yeah. It's 4 foot by 9 foot.
And we thought New York was small.
New York was bad. Like, it's crazy. And there are two people in there. With a bed, toilet, sink. Yeah, and two people.
I'm trying to visualize this.
That's where we are, right? What we're setting at this table.
That's much worse than our shared studio. Lady and I used to share a studio.
In what you housing, guys.
It's rough because all that stuff's in there. You have no privacy. So, like, I was like, sometimes, like, you worry because the toilet's, like, literally right there. And you can't go anywhere. It's just the little things that...
Things you don't think, like, you see a jailbreak movie. Like, those things aren't discussed. And it's, that's sad.
He just set up visually, like, what you're dealing with, especially when someone first shows up. So I think someone else was interviewed, and they were talking about when they had a new roommate come in, or maybe they moved into the room, and their roommate in the middle of the night would just get up and, like, scream and yell and pace in circles. He didn't know if he was going to attack him. He didn't know, like, what was happening. So just... things that you have to deal with. It was crazy. Yeah. And it's very, the way they describe it is so visual. Sometimes they have different sound effects, or they record stuff obviously in prison. So you hear like the chain link fences and stuff like that. So they make it something that you can almost picture yourself when you're listening. Yeah. So that was just the first episode, which was awesome. You should definitely listen. I loved listening to the brothers, though. That was the highlight of that one. Because they interviewed both of them. So they had their banter, and they're like, yeah, he was overreacting. The other one was like, I was going to kill him. It was really cute.
What I love about this is this is insight that you really don't get into prisons. And that, what you're describing, the relationship between the two brothers is so relatable.
Yes. Yeah.
Like anyone with a sibling is going to listen to that and being like, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Right. I love that.
It's really, it has that personal touch.
Yeah.
There was another one, called Misguided Loyalty, and that was a really hard one to listen to. Because you really heard about this guy named Tommy Shakur Ross, and it was about his path getting to prison and basically what he did and how he ended up there. I won't spoil that one too much because the storytelling is really important there, but that is like a more difficult one. So you really are getting both. You're getting like some humor and some interesting stuff, but also some really difficult things. But also understanding where they're coming from, how they ended up in that situation.
Right. I would think that this podcast is, I mean, it's great for people who just are interested in that, but I would think it's very therapeutic for people who have loved ones in prison and want to understand more about the life that they're living.
Yes.
And kind of like what you can't talk to them all the time, so you can hear it from somebody else and maybe be able to relate to them in that way when you do see them.
That's a really good point. Yeah. There were so many. Okay, there was Looking Out, which was a good one. It was really interesting. Oh, I actually really did love this one. It was about wanting to nurture and just that, like, desire when you're in this situation. So this was the one that kind of dealt with pets that the lieutenant didn't totally approve of. But, you know, it's what happened. There was one guy in it named Roach. He, like, named himself Roach, R-A-U-C-H. But he's kind of the resident hippie. Basically, of the prison. And he, the whole episode was about him and also other people and how they create pets. So they were talking about like pets they found, like moths, rats, gophers, centipedes, don't like that, spiders, sparrows, like basically anything where you feel like you can connect to something
any
and care for it.
Animal.
Exactly. Yeah. Any animal. So a moth could be your pet. Any sort of connection.
I'd much rather a moth than a rat.
Right. It was really interesting, though, because it was, that one was very much, I don't know, it just dealt with, like, humanism and the human condition. Like, it got very heady in a very interesting way. And also they talked about Roach and where he had been, the way he grew up, and why he feels more connected to these different pets and animals that he finds in the prison than the other people around him. So it was really interesting. They had the shoe episode. What is it, Lucy?
I'm just guessing.
I think it sounds right. We'll fact check after.
Housing unit?
Guys, I have Google.
Oh, right? Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's keep going. I'll tell you.
Okay. So that one's about the shoe, which if anyone watches Orange is the New Black, they like talk about the shoe a lot. And I think they might have mentioned something about that show in there. But that one was really good about human contact. And they
I
had a lot of interviews.
I imagine that.
There's some very creepy pictures on
this. Oh, yeah. No. If you just Google shoe, you might get some weird stuff.
What is shoe? Security housing unit.
Security housing unit.
Or solitary.
Okay.
So it is
also,
solitary.
Also, I just realized that I have Google here. The other day I told Alex.
Turn on the Twitter.
I was like, every time I turn on Twitter, and I was like, I sound like I'm 90 years old.
grandmother.
But yeah, so the security housing unit.
So it was really about this kind of isolation that people have to experience. Mm. They interviewed 4 different people serving between 8 to 28 years in the shoe.
Oh my
God. So I can't even 8 to 28 years what? In solitary confinement.
How it okay. was crazy. I'm gonna have to like try to knock it on a soapbox right now. But oh, how yeah. you know, like yeah. that is cruel and unusual. Like I don't understand. That well, is so I would upsetting like,
I would
to think about.
It would be interesting to put that statement with mm-hmm. what they are in there for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, is it because they've done something and they're being punished after they're in prison, or is it part of
their sentence? Yeah.
That would make a difference.
I'm trying to remember.
I honestly don't know if it would make a difference.
But I'm saying like yeah. you know, like if you hear, okay, this, I don't know, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, for example, like if a family hears that the person who raped and murdered kids and their child and they didn't get the death penalty, but they're in solitary confinement mm-hmm. for 10 years, that would make more difference than I stole a fork at the lunchroom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There should like definitely be some sort of
I'm not saying they should be in there, but I'm saying it would be interesting to hear like why they're in there. Like yeah. if it's because it's like a punishment and... I don't know if I feel good about
20
that.
20 years.
28.
28 years in solitary.
They did talk about some of the reasons, at least, why people went there. I remember a couple, and I feel like that was part of their sentence. Mm. But I also don't remember it being something that I found completely crazy.
I'm not signing off on that.
No, of course, absolutely. I think this is really interesting that we're talking about this. This is so, I don't know. Riveting conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much to this.
Like, there's a lot to it.
Yeah. And I think that all these issues, what happens in prisons, they're not things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think we're so removed from them. There's such a stigma
yeah. to it. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a good episode. That one's also really hard to listen to, yeah. obviously.
Because and do they speak to people who are in solitary
Yes, they speak to the 4 inmates
and
who
is that
have
against
been in
their
there.
Solitary?
Well, I think it's after they went through it.
Oh, okay.
So they are no longer in solitary confinement or. No, I'm pretty sure none of them were going there. They had either been in there or maybe they were like still in there. They described basically the routine because, I mean, you're in there most of the day, but there was a way where like you come out for like certain things. I think they were like isolated when they could go out onto like the quad and get fresh air or something for certain periods of time.
Well, we wonder why people have such a hard time coming back and
readjusting
society.
To society. Seriously. Because if you aren't talking to anyone, seeing anyone, like touching anyone, nothing.
It's definitely part of a grander conversation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. But that was really enlightening.
Wow.
They had a really cute episode called Catch a Kite, which was where they took questions from listeners. So kites are written notes or postcards. It's like slang, I guess. But it was really cool. They were like, Erlon and Nigel were like going through the different letters and reading them. There was really great stuff where people just asked things like, what would you change about prison? How's the food? They had questions for specific people who have been on the show. They asked Lieutenant Robinson questions. but it was really interesting, the food one, because I remember they were talking about fresh fruit. And how that is prized above anything else.
Yeah.
So I think one of the inmates was talking about the day they had watermelon and bananas or something. Oh, wow. And he would trade his whole lunch for fresh fruit.
Ugh.
And he would like stock up on all the fresh fruit. Yeah, it was
heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. But it was also really funny the way he was talking about it, you know? So he added like this lightness to it. But it is crazy because the food is disgusting.
Mm.
Like disgusting.
Yeah. That's also probably a proven thing that we all stigmatize
too,
but it's probably true.
Yeah. Oh, and then the last one I guess I'll talk about because I don't want to go through every single episode.
I'm loving this.
I know.
I also feel like I'm guessing that one of the main goals of this podcast is for people to have conversations just like this.
Absolutely.
I feel like we're
they
kind of
proving
their point.
They want people to talk about it. Like we were saying, there's a stigma. They want people to talk about what actually happens there. And they also kept saying throughout, even though like there are parts of this that are really humorous and fun, like prison is very difficult. Like bad things can happen. It's important to talk about the way we're treating people in there because people are people. The boom boom room is the last one I want to talk about.
I already know what that is.
Very appropriate.
It's for married couples, correct?
So good.
Okay.
Yes. Guys, this is like one of my favorite episodes, though. It was so good because it was a lot about like human connection, yeah. and whether you're going into okay, stop! Oh my god!
I just love that you were like looking at us like, oh goodness, guess what's coming up next?
I just know how it sounds, but it's really yeah. interesting because whether you're going into prison and you're married already or engaged, or if you find someone while you're in prison, which is really interesting because that's I was wondering how that is
a thing. But could you hear about like serial killers are up watching? Like, yes.
What are you talking yeah. about? Why?
This one was also interesting hearing the co-hosts talk to each other because Erlon like is there and then Nigel isn't. So she was like, how do you find someone and how do you make a decision to be with someone who is in prison? And Erlon could speak
that's
to
so
that
interesting.
Because they're coming from two different places.
That's something I always I'm like, why?
Yeah. Like, why would you choose
like,
that?
They have it on TV a lot. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of the running yeah. like, mm-hmm. oh, and they met and married yeah. and you're like,
But why would you choose that? You know they're not getting out for 30 years. So it was
not even that. Like even I can see more mm-hmm. getting to know someone who's in there for something yeah. like drug possession or whatever. Mm-hmm. These right. people like want to marry like Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, yeah, that's on right.
That's crazy.
That's different end of the spectrum. But yeah, it was really enlightening because why are people making these choices?
Right.
So it was about meeting like the people you love, maintaining spousal relationships. I'm trying to be appropriate. This episode is not for kids, by the way, in case you didn't get that already. But it was interesting. Only 4 states allow family visits or conjugal visits. And the states are Washington, Connecticut, New York, and California.
Interesting.
All other states don't. And so these family visits are basically, there's a cottage on prison grounds where you can bring like your spouse or your family if you want for 48 hours and spend time with them in like
I
that
didn't,
space.
I just assumed it was all prison. Like, yeah. that was a thing. Me I too. Didn't know.
4 states apparently, oh, wow. which is crazy. They talked about workarounds for physical interactions, touch. Okay. But also they had one guy who talked about his family visit, which was so aww. Beautiful. I started crying on the train. Oh. Like, it was even the little things because he was discussing how he talked to his wife beforehand when she visited. Like, this is stuff I want you to bring for the visit, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, it was amazing when I just touched, like, the sheets in the bed. Like, oh. they weren't white sheets. They were, like, soft. It was a real pillow. Yeah. Like, it was... I just start crying.
Are there different oof. Levels of communication and like mm-hmm. restrictions within? So
what do you mean?
Are they supervised in some visits?
Do you mean visits when people come or this family visit thing?
Any, I guess. Like mm-hmm. I know that there's like the mm-hmm. tables and you know everyone yeah. comes and they're mm-hmm. watched. But yeah. for these, like are when there different the levels cottage. Of people being surveillanced, I guess?
I assume there's like security involved. They didn't really talk about
are they, like,
the security
alone?
Involved.
No matter if it's a family, they're alone.
Yeah,
in
if they're a family, it's not like someone's like a guard is like watching them. Like they have this like space to themselves. And I also assume that depending on like your behavior and other things sort of play into like how much freedom you have yeah. and if you're able to do this. But no, it really is like you're having this time with your family. You don't have someone like over your shoulder. Like this is their time to be with their family in this more wow. private space. In terms of visits, when people come in, those are pretty heavily supervised, but that's when they were talking about different kind of workarounds. So there's apparently an outside space where all couples would go and like there's benches and tables. It was really interesting.
Okay.
But people figure out like what they have to do.
Yeah.
They got a lot of time to think about it, I guess.
This is very true. They also talked about the ways people meet and get married once in prison. So pen pals, family, friends, these are all different ways you can like meet new people or hear about people. Other inmates, visitors, sometimes people connect that way. Like, oh, that other guy's like cousin came in, but we like each other. Like all sorts of ways people connect, which was interesting.
So they like meet people when they come to visit other people?
That's what Erlon said.
Really?
It was crazy. Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, seriously.
It's not really where I'd be like, they might be a man.
I know, but you never know. It was really sweet, though, the guy who was talking about his family visit, how special that time was to him, how much work went into it in terms of planning it, like what his wife would bring. It was just beautiful.
Oh,
I cried.
Wow.
Sweet. I cried. But yeah, that's just some of the episodes. I think they're coming back in March. For their next season, which is really exciting. So I'm going to listen.
Do they have just one season?
Yeah, they just have one season so far. And it was funded by Podtopia. Is that what I said it was? Radiotopia. So it's really great because they have the money to like do more. It was just a really kind of not totally feel good, but in some aspects it was. They did, like I said, always emphasize this is prison. Oh, one thing that was interesting about that, between episodes 5 and 6 of the first season, episode 6 had to be delayed a week because there was a prison lockdown. And it's just interesting because, like, those schedules.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever the podcast wants to do doesn't really matter. Like, this is a prison. They're bound to that schedule. They have no control over it. So even the week before, I think they said, we might have a lockdown. We're not sure, but we'll let you guys know. And so there was just this space between. And when they came back, they're like, guys, like, this is what happens sometimes. Like, we have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were saying San Quentin is still dangerous, but this brings, like, a nuance and a humanness to what they're experiencing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I have, like, a couple of thoughts.
Yes,
so
go ahead.
It's really great to me that they are showing the relationship between the guy that works at the prison and them, because I feel like that's also a thing that gets kind of thrown out in media and movies of, like, the kind of negative relationship between them.
So Orange is the New Black.
So it's good to see the fostering of of healthy, like, they get, like, a power trip. So it's, like, healthy relationships that they are over them in a way, but it's not awful,
not,
I guess.
Abuse,
or, like,
abuse
showing
all the
that
time,
that can be good. And, that was one thought.
Yeah.
Two is that I like that this is kind of, like, like, a reward. Like, if you're good, you can go on this podcast and let your story be told. You know, and it's kind of another positive reinforcement thing. So it's, like, you know, like, you can do great things and you can go talk on the podcast. Because I think that it's really important to have something that they look forward to. And, like I said, something to go into the world and be like, oh, I did this, you know? So I like that. And then the last is...
No, go ahead.
I think it'd be really cool for writers. Because you're telling me all this stuff and I'm like, there's so many stories there. But you can't always get a free, like, access into a prison.
Yeah.
So if you're writing a story, this would be really good research.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are my thoughts.
Yes. I like it. I like it. I'm glad you guys like it.
No, I'm so excited. So excited to start listening.
It's so interesting. There are other episodes I didn't even talk about. They have one with a guy who has a daughter outside of prison and his attempt to reconnect with her. So that was really interesting too. Like, just listen. It's really interesting though. I don't know. It was hard to listen to at times, but I'm really glad I did. Even when I go on the website, it's great to see the community that's built around it. They have people who listen, send in pictures of themselves, like, listening to it. So there's an artist who's, like, painting, and she has her computer up, and she's playing it. Or there's, like, a guy driving in his car, and he's listening to it. So there are so many people who are paying attention and want to hear their voices.
I love that. Pretty open, and, like, they're pretty transparent when they talk about their stories and why they're there.
Oh, absolutely, which was really cool. And it's a range of people, so it's not like you're getting the same two people talking about it.
Yeah.
Every episode, they're bringing in someone different who might have a different path to, like, getting to jail. Like, some people, obviously, their crimes might be, like, worse or lesser than others, so you're getting a variety there. And they're very honest. They're like, this is what I did. This is how I got caught. I might be a repeat offender, like, they share. Yeah.
Wow.
It was so good. I'm so excited for March.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good one.
Such a good one, Alex.
When I found it, I was so excited. I was like, they're going to love it. Yeah. I hope they do at least because I love it.
I would have seen that and never known.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how I found it. I think I was also Googling, like, podcasts you should listen to. And obviously there are so many.
Yeah.
But this one, the comments on it were really interesting. People were like, this is a very different perspective. It's very honest and it's short. And I was like, okay. So, yeah.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Great job.
No problem.
Yeah. So, like, it kind of, like, lifts me up that people have an outlet.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, like you said,
it's
not
prison.
In any way are we saying that this is a fun
place
or glad they're having fun.
Like, we don't want to go. But, like, it is really cool that they do have these opportunities.
But they are human. And, like, to Lucy's point, it's cruel and unusual sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're human.
Yeah. And I don't, it sounds like it's not a coincidence that this particular prison has this podcast available because they have all these other programs as well.
Educational opportunities.
And so, and I wonder if it would even be possible to have a podcast like this in certain other prisons.
Yeah.
You know,
I actually, after I listened to this, I was Googling the most dangerous prisons because this is on the list of one of the most dangerous prisons in the country. And just looking at some of their opportunities, and the prisons vary in terms of the most dangerous ones, because some were, like, really small and, like, small towns, and it just felt like they didn't have the resources to deal with the amount of people and, like, their particular issues. And I don't know, it like we talked about the stigma, I feel like it's something to pay attention to and to figure out like what we can do for these people.
Yeah.
Rather than sweeping it under the rug.
Right. Wow. That's a good point.
I would love to hear anyone's like thoughts on this, especially if they have loved ones that are in the system. Mm-hmm. I would love to, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable comments with reaching out to us.
Yeah. Or if, you know, you or someone you know has been incarcerated before, how does this align with your own experience? Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear.
Yeah. Either or, if you like or you don't like this podcast.
Yeah, even if you don't like it. Yeah.
Because I don't know, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Oh wow!
Good job, Ellen.
Oh my gosh! Have you finished the whole first season?
Yeah, I finished whole first season. It actually took me a second towards the end because then I was traveling and I was like, I need to listen to Ear Hustle, and then I finished it. It's really good. It's really good. I think they have they have an episode at the end which is really cool. I think was it Roach or maybe it was another interviewed inmate who raps and writes, and then there's someone who sings, and so at the end they have an episode that's about like the songs from this podcast, which is really cool. Whoa. It's just so great. It's so great.
Sounds amazing.
Wow.
So come March, I will definitely be bringing it to the news updates.
Do you think it'll be the same format?
I think so. Okay. But I'm not totally sure. So we'll see. We'll see.
That's exciting.
So exciting. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. That was awesome. Whew.
So, guys, we just want to remind you, of course, we got to get our review and comment in. So, please review us because it's really important and we want to get our name out there. So, if you love us, this is a
show
plea.
Us. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We want to thank our musicians, Rob Righthand, Derek Kirch, and Greg Kaplan for the incredible theme song. And as always, thank you for all your hard work, Billy Richling.